You're listening to Asbury University's Chapel Podcast, recorded live from our campus in Wilmore, Kentucky. Asbury's Chapel Service hosts speakers from around the world to inspire academic excellence and spiritual vitality. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Today is our Faith and Culture Chapel, and so today we'll be looking at where our faith intersects with the culture around us. Today we're going to be entering our chapel frame, Renewed Mind. Renewed mind is being shaped by Scripture toward what is good, right, and true. Today I have the privilege to introduce our speaker, Marvin Ruffner. Today he'll be talking about creation care and what it looks like to celebrate God's creation. Dr. Marvin Ruffner is the Assistant Professor of Plant Biology at Asbury University. He is a Christian, a conservation biologist, and an ever-inspiring naturalist. He was born in Lexington, Kentucky, and has lived in Central Kentucky his whole life. In his free time, he enjoys spending time with his family, adventuring and exploring in the outdoors, learning about biodiversity on Earth, gardening, propagating plants, planting trees, exercising, reading, and last but not least, practicing creation care by being a good steward of our environment.
Well, good morning, Asbury. Wow. It's really exciting to be up here. It's such a grand stage. And what a beautiful morning. What a beautiful November morning. I'm truly honored and humbled and privileged to be before you to share this one of two-part series on faith and culture, to celebrate God's creation in and among us. Before we start, I would like to just have a brief moment of silence and personal prayer for Dr. Chuck Gobin. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray to you with a sorrowful heart on the recent news of Dr. Gobin's health condition. I pray that you put your healing hands upon him. I pray that you comfort him and his family during this time and bring them peace. We are thankful for this time to worship and honor you and your creation. We are grateful for all your creation on all the wonders of life we experience here on earth. You gloriously reveal yourself to us through your creation. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all your faithfulness and your provisions in life. We are forever grateful for you, your love, your mercy, your grace, and salvation in our lives. During this time, we aim to honor and glorify you by remembering we are your shepherds of creation. We are to use the resources of creation in a sustainable and not exploitive and greedy manner. And we pray for wisdom and guidance to embrace and incorporate creation care in our faith and to disciple others in our lives to have an everlasting relationship with you and to be Christ-like stewards of your creation. Please help us all to solidify our everlasting relationship with you and your creation. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Wow, you know, this is the grandest stage I've ever been on, and I'm really honored to be here to share this topic with you all, because your generation, you young people, are what's important in years to come. Okay, this is a real passion of mine, as you see as I go through this talk. Okay, but before I begin, I want to wish somebody a very special happy birthday. Happy birthday, Michelle Meacham. I hope you have a great day. Thank you. So some of you know me, some of you don't. I'm Marvin Ruffner. I'm one of the science faculty here at Asbury. I've been here for about 7 years. As a profession, I am a biologist and an ever-aspiring naturalist, conservation biologist, and botanist. And interestingly, both in graduate school and in my research that I do and in my personal life, I always strive to do, you know, some type of creation care to be a good steward of our environment. You know, interestingly, my major advisor in graduate school, Dr. Tom Barnes, was a man of strong faith, and I actually didn't really, we'd never really talked about it. It was one of those situations where, you know, it was very professional, professor and student, and I didn't learn till many years later, and he actually passed away like 2 years after I finished my PhD, and I wish we could go back and talk about, you know, our love of God and creation. But he was a really avid self-taught nature photographer, and I actually have this book. It's called The Gift of Creation that he did, probably one of the last books he did. It's a coffee table style book, but, you know, I encourage you to pick it up. Again, it's called The Gift of Creation, but he was a really avid nature photographer, and his photos were quite amazing, and he incorporates you know, scripture with creation care in that book. And one thing, or the central claim of the book, was Earth's destruction and potential healing hinge on what we believe about creation. Okay, and I think that's a really important point for all of us as Christians and all humanity to strongly consider. So I've always, ever since I can remember, I've always been drawn to creation, our natural world. I love wild places. I love to explore. I love to adventure and dwell and admire God's creation. This morning was a great example as I looked up in the sky and the clouds and the sun. It was just absolutely glorious. I've always just felt this really innate and strong desire to be a steward of his creation. In fact, you know, like I said, I do my best to do it both in my personal and professional life. Am I perfect? You know, no. Can I save the world by myself? No. But if we do something collectively to steward creation in God's honor, I think we can make a really big impact in this world. So, you know, if you, on the slides, you'll see a figure, a triangular figure, and I think it's a really important relationship that we should, especially as Christians, try to strive to do, is God calls and blesses us, and we are called to be stewards of his creation, which honors and glorifies him. So it's this continual interconnected relationship. But my message here today is not about me. It's here to celebrate God's creation. As Christians, to encourage and advocate the cultivation of our faith culture to include and embrace creation and its stewardship, it is an integral part of our faith to honor and glorify God. And an important means by which we love our neighbors. To offer hope not only through Christ and his salvation for us, but also creation care as an integral component of the gospel. Lastly, at the very end, I'll share three reasons why we should care for creation and seek a relationship with creation. So I think it's maybe important at this point to define what exactly is stewardship, right? I think we all have this idea of what it means. And so Merriam's dictionary, it just says conducting, supervising, or managing of something. But especially, I think this is really kind of sums it up, the careful and responsible management of something entrusted to one's care. Now, one of my favorite quotes by John Muir states, quote, he stated, quote, everybody needs beauty as well as bread, places to play in and places to pray in, where nature may heal and cheer and give strength to body and soul alike. If you don't know much about John Muir, he was a naturalist, conservationist, advocate of wilderness preservation, and one who often referenced God and his creative glory in his writings. He's known as the father of national parks. He helped establish Yosemite, Kings Canyon, Sequoia, and Mount Rainier national parks. Again, his work helped establish the national park system and the Sierra Club. He educated Americans about the value of wilderness and inspired generations of wilderness advocates. His philosophy was rooted in the idea that all living things are interconnected, and humans are but one part of this larger ecosystem. He valued nature for its beauty, serenity, and ability to rejuvenate the human spirit, our souls. He promoted preservation of wild places for everyone's enjoyment. His profound love for the natural world and advocated for the preservation of America's wilderness, like I stated. His eloquent words and all his writings were instrumental in the establishment, again, of national parks and the conservation movement as a whole. He believed that spending time in nature was beneficial to the physical, mental, and spiritual health of humans. His philosophy of life was shaped by his experiences in the wilderness. And scientific studies today provide evidence that nature, you know, spending time in God's creation is very nurturing for our soul. You know, the physical, mental, and spiritual well-being of people. So, you know, I encourage you to take some time. You don't have to be a super environmentalist, you know. You don't have to be this nature lover. And my message is not about loving nature more than God. God is always first. But to love, you know, God's creation and be responsible stewards of it. And, you know, carry that message to everyone, Christians and Christians alike. Another one of my favorite quotes, which comes from Dr. Howard Snyder. I've recently become friends with Dr. Howard Snyder. He's a biblical and Wesley scholar and taught at the seminary from 1996 to 2006 and has written many theological books, including Salvation Means Creation Healed, The Ecology of Sin and Grace. But I don't know if this quote... I'm pretty sure this quote may come from his book, but it's definitely on his email, and I just absolutely love it. So, quote, if it doesn't include the land, it's not the whole gospel. Okay, so that's a big part of the message I have to today. So, as you probably have, gotten from my message so far, I think it's one of our important ethical and moral responsibilities as Christians, but more importantly as humans, to care for his creation with honor and respect, to be good stewards of his creation, all right? To leave this earth a better place for future generations, okay? And as the upcoming generation, this is your all's important role, all right? And from the popular Native American quote, we do not inherit the earth from our ancestors, we borrow it from our children. So it is as Christians, our ethical, moral, and covenant with God to be shepherds and stewards of his creation for future generations of humans in all life. I think one of my biggest challenges today, I keep looking at the clock, is to stay on track, because I had so much to say about this topic. And it can, you know, I could go different ways with it. So I'm one of the biggest challenges is for me to stay on track with what I've got to say. But let me just kind of rewind the clock a little bit. I talked about this, just this innate drive in me to be a good steward of our environment. But one thing that really resonated with me, particularly back in graduate school, was reading The Land Ethic from Aldo Leopold's famous book, A Sound County Almanac. And if you don't know much about Aldo Leopold, he was an author, a philosopher, a farmer, a conservationist, a wildlife ecologist, and known to many as the father of wildlife ecology and conservation. But one thing he did write in that segment of his book, The Land Ethic, is that it enlarges the boundaries of the community to include the soils, the waters, the plants, the animals, and collectively the land, okay? And so let me just, I think it's important to read a portion of that chapter in the book concerning the land ethic. The first ethics dealt with a relation between individuals. The Mosaic Decalogue is an example. Later accretions dealt with the relation between the individual and society. The Golden Rule tries to integrate the individual to society. Democracy to integrate social organization to the individual. Yet there is no ethic dealing with man's relationship to the land and the animals and plants which it grow upon. The land relation is still strictly economic, entailing privileges but not obligations. The extension of ethics to this third element in human environment is, if I read the evidence correctly an evolutionary possibility and an ecological necessity. It is the third step in a sequence. The two have already been taken. Individual thinkers since the days of Ezekiel and Isaiah have asserted that the despoilization of land is not only inexpedient but wrong. Society, however, has not yet affirmed their belief. I regard the present conservation movement as the embryo of such an affirmation. And that was written back, he published this book in the 1949, so he was well ahead of his times about the ethics of the stewardship of the land, okay? And moving on, what did John Wesley view about stewardship? And from John Wesley's Sermon 51, The Good Steward, he states, quote, "We are now God's stewards. We are indebted to him for all we have. We are not at liberty to use what God has lodged in our hands as we please, but as God pleases. Who alone in the possessor of heaven and earth and the Lord of every creature, God entrusts us with this world's goods on this expressive condition, that we use them not only for our master's goods and according to the particular direction which he has given us in his word." Psalm 24, verse 1 through 2. "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein, for he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers." And David poetically wrote in Psalm 8, verses 3 through 9, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers of the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet. All flocks and herds and animals of the wild, the birds of the sky and the fish of the sea, all that swim in the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all earth." And if we go back to Genesis 1:28, God said, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion of the fish of the sea, over birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." This is a really important verse, and I think many of you are very familiar with it, and which I believe, along with lots of biblical and theological scholars and others alike, has been misinterpreted and perhaps misconstrued. Did God actually tend for us to conquer and overexploit, pollute, poison, and drive species to extinction? I don't believe he did. In my heart, I truly don't believe he did. And there's many of examples in the Old Testament of God's contempt over the Israelites' disobedience. Yeah, dominion does imply authority, but authority with respect to responsibility, not an abusive or exploitive authority. I feel God desires us to be stewards of his creation, shepherds of his creation. But as we know, as a result of the fall, the humanity is driven by greed, selfishness, short-sightedness, and loses the foresight. And Snyder and Scandrett, in Salvation Means Creation Healed, The Ecology of Sin and Grace, they state, quote, "The human race is sadly and lethally alienated from the land. We are estranged from nature." And quote, "The key dimension of the ecology of sin is that sin separates us from the land as well as from God." So it's not to say we haven't been, you know, somewhat good stewards of creation. And we have, you know, stewarded and conserved many really amazing places on earth, okay? So here's a big question, and maybe what you're thinking this now. Why should we be concerned about the environment and creation care, okay? And did you know that scientists estimate that approximately 8.7 million species inhabit the earth? And that's a large underestimate. Scientists are still trying to catalog all the amazing creation and biodiversity on Earth, okay? But sadly, species are disappearing at an unprecedented rate. considered to be 10 to 1,000 times faster than natural extinction rates, largely due to human-related activities, habitat loss, overexploitation, climate change, pollution, invasive species, and on and on. And the International Union of Conservation of Nature says that more than 46,000 species are threatened with extinction. And that may not seem like a lot relative to the number we have on Earth, but that's only assessing about 28% of all the species on Earth, okay? Now, the famous evangelist Billy Graham really, I think, lays out why we should be concerned about the environment and creation care. Quote, and he states, why should we be concerned about the environment? Is it just because of the dangers of we face from pollution, climate change, and environmental problems? Although these are very, very serious, for Christians, it's a much deeper issue. We know that God created the earth and it belongs to him, not us. Because of this, we are only stewards or trustees of his creation, and we aren't to abuse or neglect it. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it, Psalm 24:1. When we fail to see the world as God's creation, we end up abusing it, the sin that separates us from the land and God. Selfishness and greed take over. We end up not caring about the environment or the problems we're creating for future generations. Quote. But how much is creation care discussed, emphasized, and practiced by the church in various creation denominations? You know, one hope is that it is actually being talked and embraced a lot more. You know, you can get on the internet and search it. There's a lot of denominations, and the church as a whole is embracing it and advocating it. But historically, it hasn't been an emphasis of the church. Perhaps complete apathy in some cases. And of course, I'm not going to go all in that today. And Dr. Sarah Reichter's book, Stewards of Eden, she states it could be summarized the message of the Old Testament in one single proverb. The earth is the Lord's and all it contains, and you make use of it in all your need, but you shall not abuse it in your greed. Okay? So let me kind of finish up with all that I have to say with three reasons why we should all, as Christians, practice creation care. Now, you might find all these reasons they're really interrelated, and I actually find a little challenging to kind of separate the three, okay? First, it's biblical to honor, glory, and glorify God's covenant with humanity and the earth. God is king. He entrusted us humans as bearers of his image to be shepherds of creation. We can go back to Genesis 1 and 2. It's a divine mandate. Specifically, Genesis 1, verses 26 through 28, and Genesis 2, verse 15. It's also noted in Leviticus chapter 25. And in Leviticus chapter 25 describes the Jubilee, which was intended to ensure that all people lived in ways that reflected good relations with God, each other, and creation, the land. Again, coming back to Psalm 24, verse 1 through 2. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. And God's covenant with the earth. In Snyder and Scandrett 2011, Salvation Means Creation Healed, they emphasize, quote, first thing God does in history of salvation is to make covenant with the land. And this is in Genesis chapter 9, verses 12 through 17. And God said, this is a sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and an ever-living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I've set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between you and all the living creatures for every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and living creatures of ever kind on the earth. So God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and all life on earth." And in Romans 8, chapter 20, or verses 20 through 22, Paul attests to creation and its groaning and its future redemption. Reason number two, honor and glorifying God. As being created in God's image, being good stewards of the creation honors and glorifies God. Again, sin separates us from God and the land. And from BioLogos, the nonprofit science and faith nonprofit, as bearers of God's image, all people have the responsibility and privilege of caring for God's creation. Christians in particular should be motivated by Scripture. We ought to love and care for the earth because it is God's very good creation, and because we must care for the most vulnerable people on the planet. But we have not done this well. Our day-to-day choices and attitudes are often driven by our culture and lifestyle preferences, not the Bible. The science is clear. Because of humanity, we see effects of like species extinction and climate change. In Colossians 1, 15 through 16, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for in all him, all things are created, things in heaven and earth. All things have been created through him and for him. And in Psalm 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Again, back to Psalm 24, 1. And lastly, creation stewardship means loving others. It may seem like loving nature more than people, but that's not the message I'm sending here. Somebody always pays the price for environmental problems and degradation. And it's often the people less privileged, more impoverished with limited resources. So again, this, you know, creation care directly translates to loving others. Caring for creation equals caring for fellow humans. In Matthew 22, verses 36 through 39, a Pharisee asked, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love your Lord with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." And in Leviticus 19, verse 18, "We shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am Lord." So in closing, I just want to send the message, foster and love creation and with respect. Do something to honor and glorify God by doing something to care for creation. Be a creation steward. We individually can't change the world single-handedly, but collectively we can all make a positive difference, okay? Do something to creation steward and be a better tomorrow. And I want to point out Tegan Merrick's article. Tegan, if you're here, I really admired your writing. Hi, Tegan. I picked up the Asbury Collegian one day, and I was like, you know, I would like to write an article about creation care. And Tegan beat me to it. Your article was amazing. The first thing you can do is be a voice. Seek a relationship with the land was the title of her article. And it was just wonderful and a really good message, Tegan. Great job. And, you know, there's lots of ways you can practice creation care. Get outside, seek a relationship with the land, as Tegan pointed out. There's a lot of hope. In the last couple decades, a lot of more attention is given by the church to creation care and by many denominations. There's lots of ways to do it. Be a voice, talk about it, live modestly, be sustainable. Support faith-based creation care organizations. Support renewable energy. Plant trees. I love trees. You can't plant enough trees. Recycle. Perhaps drive a fuel-efficient car. Grow a garden. Plant a pollinator garden. Support conservation organizations of your choice. And be frugal and be thrifty. And with this, I amazingly was just about on time. So thank you for your time, and thank you for your attention, and God bless, and have a great day.